it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Ryan Hubley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Boy, that little riff right there, man, had me pause. I thought, damn, am I supposed to come in on that?
Chili peppers.
Damn, that right there. I had to pause. I was like, wait a minute. Should I talk over this beauty or what? I mean,
and me and Luke bonded over this.
That's
because
right.
Because this song, there was someone else out there in the world other than myself that identifies this song and pairs it with the Power Rangers movie that came out whenever we were kids.
That's right.
Legendary.
Great movie. Great song.
Went ninjas.
Oh, is that real? Is that it?
Yeah,
this is the Power Rangers. So Red Hot Chili Peppers are making some royalty money off the Power Rangers.
Yeah, man. I don't know if it was just that one scene, Luke, where there's like some fighting and stuff going on, but this song is forever to me paired with that movie, the Power Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, you better have some sped up action going on the screen if this is the theme
it's
music.
It's morphin' time.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I think they jumped out of a plane. They were. Whatever that's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, that's
right?
It. That's it. It's the like, opening of the movie. That's right.
Is it the opening? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like all floating down. Yeah. Great movie.
Tommy's got a snowboard and it's coming down.
That's right.
That's awesome.
All right. Look, D'Amico Ryans, he spoke yesterday. Again, it's post bye week, post team self evaluation week. He's they're in the thick of it right now. We're a little off kilter here because the Texans do play Monday night. Typically Tuesday is the players off day and we don't hear from coaches, we don't hear from players in this with a Monday night game. Wednesday is the off day, and so today there is there's no audio, there's no coaches, there's no players speaking to the media, but D'Amico Ryans was on he did speak yesterday, his typical what would have been a Monday, it was actually a Monday presser, and he hit on several topics, y'all, and you know, I think several of them were really, really good audio. But I think one kind of hidden aspect of this Monday night game is the Clint Kubiak being the offensive coordinator. That dynamic of what's going on in Seattle with an offense that's doing some pretty good things. I think that dynamic is one that we need to discuss. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about what makes the Seattle Seahawks so good offensively.
And for Seattle, they're good at the play-action pass game because, you know, Kubiak's done a good job wherever he's been as a play caller. He's done a really good job of establishing the outside zone scheme, right? And with the outside zone scheme comes the keepers off of the outside zone action. So he's done a really good job of marrying both run game and passing game, meaning they both look very similar. So the play-action pass game works because of the offensive line and how they come off the football, right? How they make the run look exactly like the pass. It puts the second-level defenders in a bind where are you stepping up to defend the run or can you key it and diagnose it quick enough to understand that it's pass and now I need to drop in coverage. So they've done a really good job starting with Kenneth Walker in the run game. He's a really, really good running back in this league, and he's done a really nice job. And when you have him running the ball the way he runs it, right, guys are going to commit. And once you get guys to step up two or three steps off, and now Darnold's done a good job of getting on the edges, making good decisions down the field, and he's had a lot of guys open in those play-action passing concepts. That's why they've been successful as well. A lot of guys are wide open.
Fifth in points. I think fourth in passing yards. I think eight or nine in overall, you know, yards per game. This offense is humming. This offense is absolutely humming. And look, here's why this is important. And hopefully it becomes less and less important as we watch the game unfold. But we briefly talked a little earlier, Luke, about a conversation that's going to need to be had sooner rather than later of kind of what the decisions Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans have made around C.J. Stroud, allowing him to be successful beyond that rookie of the year. you know, right now it seems like he's a little bit more on that trajectory of the Kyler Murray Rookie of the Year, where that was really the highlight so far of a career.
Yeah,
and I think a lot can be said about, you know, what the organization surrounded that player with, and the reason I think this is interesting is because if you look at the decisions, there's going to come a day, unfortunately, there's going to come a day where, or hopefully not, hopefully you play well and it doesn't matter, but there may come a day where you look up and you go, okay, D'Amico Ryans, you hired Bobby Slowick and you hired Nick Caley, and both struggled for one reason or another. The offense was an issue throughout the year 3, 4, and 5 for C.J. Stroud, and all the while the thought is, boy, well, what offensive coordinators have been out there? I look at Clint Kubiak, and as we study the Seattle Seahawks and we realize how good this offensive unit actually is this year, it's not just about a wide open offense that's not that works when you can protect the quarterback, but they don't work, doesn't work when you can. No, they're running the football well. They're establishing the run well enough to where they're throwing play action. I believe number one in the league in play action. But they are balanced. Their quarterback's playing at a high level. There's a lot of things that they're doing offensively that is unbelievably impressive. And I think plays – now, we'll see how well it plays against the best defense in football on Monday night. We'll see how well it plays. But my point overall, Luke, is that Clint Kubiak has got this Seattle Seahawks offense – playing lights out for the most part.
Yeah, he sure is. I mean, I'm surprised. I wrote off Sam Darnold last year as just Kevin O'Connell. But now Sam Darnold's here in Seattle, and he's playing just as well. And so there's something to it, and it's a credit to now the job Clint Kubiak's doing. And, you know, if you want to make it a Texans thing, I think you can point to Brian Callahan's firing in Tennessee as like a warning or a red flag, in the sense of Brian Callahan was the latest example of a guy who got a job because of who he worked with. And for him, it was more about the quarterbacks that Brian Callahan got to work with, where he worked with obviously Joe Burrow. But before that, he was with Peyton Manning. He was with Matt Stafford. And in hindsight, it might have been more about those quarterbacks than it was Brian Callahan. And the reason why I bring that all up is because when you look at the Texans offensive coordinators, you hire Bobby Slowick because he worked with Kyle Shanahan, and you hire Nick Caley because he worked with Sean McVay, but you're not getting Shanahan and Sean McVay. Where on the flip side, this past offseason, Clint Kubiak was available. He was an offensive coordinator last year for the Saints. So you actually got to see some of his experience and what he put on tape. Instead, he goes out to Seattle and has done a great job there, giving the Seahawks a top 10 offense, where the Texans are still struggling with a guy who's trying to figure it out as he goes. So oftentimes I think it's the laziest thing in hiring, and outside of sports, companies do it too, where you can't get the guy, so let's just hire somebody close to the guy. And that's what the Texans have done with both of their hires. And also part of it, of course, is just because obviously D'Amico worked with Bobby Slowick and Caserio worked with Nick Caley, so that plays a part of it too. But I think you see a difference here, where the Texans are trying to figure it out, what guy's doing it for the first time. Clint Kubiak got to cut his teeth with a bad Saints team last year, and now that he has some talent in Seattle, he is doing a great job scheming up that offense for Sam Darnold. And those linebackers for the Texans might be tested Monday night with all the play action and the different things Seattle throws.
Yeah, man. Being available all 3 years that D'Amico Ryans has been the head coach, with the Kubiak ties to Houston, and then going to Seattle, and I mean, look, I don't think that was a better situation to join than what the Texans would have been at any point since C.J. Stroud has been here. Passing on that and going the route of Nick Caley and Bobby Slowick could come back to haunt D'Amico Ryans. Now, look, hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully Nick Caley's the guy, Nick Caserio's right, D'Amico Ryans is happy, C.J. Stroud gets paid, we win a bunch of football games, and we can pick our pom-poms back up. But right now, I think something to watch in this Seattle game is the offensive coordinator that you've landed on, D'Amico Ryans, in year 3 versus a guy that I would imagine, now I could be wrong, Nick Caserio warned us of this, be careful thinking that you know that who would have came, who wouldn't have come, who they tried to get, who they didn't.
Right.
But I would think that Clint Kubiak would have loved to join a team that was winning 10 games, had rookie of the year quarterback with weapons galore all over the place. I would think that he would have loved that. But this Monday night, you're going to see the guy that the Texans landed on, Nick Caley, running offense against a good defense, and the guy that they potentially could have landed on any one of any 3 years that you were here in Clint Kubiak running the Seattle offense against the top defense. So I think that is a storyline to kind of follow, at least a fun follow, and see what Kubiak versus Kaylee looks like when they're both, you know, going against a really good defense.
And I'll also say, the jury's not out on Nick Kaylee just yet, but if you go back and you look, a lot of these guys typically hit right away, like Clint Kubiak has done that in Seattle where, you know, they've had success from the get-go. And it's similar, like when Ben Johnson took over the Lions offense, like they had success right away. So I'm all for, and you've been in this position, obviously, as a quarterback learning new offenses, I'm all for the benefit of the doubt, and it takes a little while to figure this out and all that sort of stuff. But if you look around the league, like when Baker went to Tampa, and you know when you plug these guys, Geno Smith in Seattle last year, and you find the right play caller and quarterback, usually the offenses do hit right away. In those cases, the examples I gave, as opposed to, you know, like Sam Darnold struggling for half a year, and then him and Kevin O'Connell figured out in Minnesota. No, they hit the ground running from week one. And Seattle, they've hit the ground running, new quarterback, new play caller from week one, where the Texans, you know, we're trying to be sold on this idea of, well, it takes a little time to figure things out. So it'll be interesting to see how things go Monday coming out of the bye week.